Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Our passage from Mark begins with what seems like the undoing of creation. It alludes to a period of immense suffering in the world, followed by the sun that goes dark, a moon that doesn't give off light, stars that fall from the sky, even planets that we're not even aware of, are having earthquakes with catastrophic proportion. Whew. Yikes, that's a little heavy for week one of Advent. This sounds more like a Hollywood movie that loves to depict chaos, you know, the Statue of Liberty falling in a flood or the Eiffel Tower plummeting to the ground. And while there are certainly Christians who are obsessed with predicting the end of the world or believing the Bible holds special clues to this event, that will not be the direction of this morning's sermon. Yes, both Hollywood and Mark 13 make use of the apocalyptic genre, apocalypse meaning to reveal or a revealing. But unlike Hollywood, Jesus is using symbols to reflect on the devastation in the world around him and revealing how God is on the cusp, is on the verge of interrupting that chaos. As we step into the world of Jesus and his disciples, everyone is walking on eggshells around their neighbors because political and social tension is on the rise. And a lot of it has to do with those who are in power. We all remember King Herod around the time of Jesus' birth. He was appointed by the Roman Senate as king in Judea, and his loyalties were to systems of domination and exploitation that would benefit Rome. He did not have concern for the well-being of those under his rule. This much was evident. Out of fear that the rumors of this Christ king was about to be born, he orders that all the baby boys be killed, hoping that he can retain power and the empire could retain power. After he dies, his legacy of advancing Rome's grip on the region increases, and his brazen tactics of force and violence continues through the rule of his son and eventually through the Roman prefect of Pontius Pilate. In fact, the tension that we read about leading up to the birth of Jesus only grows to where we see in Jesus' narrative today when he is an adult. And so as Jesus entered Jerusalem, that same fear that gripped Herod and Herod's son has gripped Pontius Pilate and those working for Rome. And with it, they use the same methods of provocative force and violence. Jesus and his disciples lived and functioned in this environment their entire lives. But it was getting worse, much worse. Jesus could sense that it was about to teeter out of control, and observing the different sequences of events, Jesus predicts that the temple could very well be destroyed in the coming future. The empire had the power, and perhaps worse, the empire had the philosophy to wipe out those who spoke out against it. Jesus alludes that he himself could be taken as a victim in prison, or worse, he could be executed. I imagine when I was reading this, what was it like to be one of the disciples? What was it like to hear their teacher that usually spoke of peace and a beloved community now speak of this real imminent danger? I imagine they were discouraged looking at the world, perhaps feeling hopeless. While they knew they risked a great many things to follow Jesus, leaving their families, their careers, stable housing, now they risked being without Jesus, and not to mention their own safety. The reality was going from bad to worse as despair set in, which can be a debilitating place for anyone to be. They were sick of waiting. Waiting for good news, waiting for the social and political tension to subside, waiting for this kingdom of God. Sensing their frustration, Jesus makes this the central theme of these three lessons that Ben just read to us. In the first lesson, Jesus tells them of a time when the sun will go dark, the stars will fall from the sky, and that is when, in the clouds, with power and splendor, will be the Son of Man. Not everything will be fixed, but there is a sign in the clouds. The Son of Man is seen, perhaps alluding to the fact that he took the place of the stars, or the moon, or the sun, a sign of light. The second lesson, Jesus revisits the previous teaching of the fig tree that had withered away, and Jesus says, "Look, it sprouts new leaves, and this is a sign of a new season of growth. God is breaking through as these leaves burst from the branch." And lastly, Jesus shares a story of a house servant who was told by the head of the household to stay alert and to watch out, for he could be back at any moment. Not only are they told to wait, but they are told to wait expecting at any moment for his return. All three lessons emphasize waiting, which makes it perfect for our Advent season. And it's not only waiting, but it's waiting with this divine interruption into what is going on in the world. Now, even though Jesus is doing his best to bring his disciples up to a place of hope, it's still hard to take this text and not be frustrated with Jesus. After all, they were in very real dangers in Jerusalem. And the best that he can do is to tell them to wait. What will waiting do? They probably thought. Aren't they already waiting for the kingdom to be established on earth? So that's just it. Son of God just telling us to stay awake, see what happens. It may not have been the confident assurance that they were looking for. And I bet they were hoping Jesus had a secret word, maybe a secret, vaccine of some sort, or maybe at least a get out of jail free card. But nothing. The promise of salvation, a peace where the needy are cared for and neighbors look out for one another, this promise was not given in full. But Jesus says to keep alert to it and wait. I'm fairly confident that my next statement will express an almost universal sentiment, and that is, aren't we tired of waiting? During a normal year, this would be a busy time. Pausing and waiting would be a great reminder. We would be going from one holiday party to the next, going to our kids' or our grandkids' concerts or plays. We would be shopping at malls, busying ourselves with finding that perfect gift. We would need reminding to pause and wait in the mundane holiday season. But this year, waiting is urgent. It's even life-threatening, not unlike it was for the disciples. In the state of Ohio, we are averaging some 10,000 cases of COVID a day, which has life or death consequences for all of us, since there's no way to tell how each body will respond. Many of us wait for test results, new and effective treatments, and more importantly, vaccines that will offer the safest protection. A lot of us spent Thanksgiving alone or in small gatherings. And the best that we can do is to tell loved ones to wait. Wait for next year when hopefully it will be different. Aren't we tired of waiting? We want to finally arrive. We want a vaccine. We want wholeness. We want to get to the joy of Christmas morning. If we return to the scripture lesson, we can see that Jesus is indeed offering these words of hope in the moment that we're living in this in-between season. When all is dark, the Son of Man is visible in the clouds. A fig tree that was believed to be dead now sprouts leaves and welcomes a new season. Both of these stories hint at those moments of salvation sprinkled in the waiting, where life is possible and God's love is final. Those that witness the sun going dark will, yes, they will see Jesus in the clouds, but the text goes on to say that all those who are separated will be together again. Even those who have gone away, those who have passed on, will be together. The miracle of the fig tree points to a season where not only the fig tree prospers, but the season of summer ushers in new life that blooms with diversity of creation, a sign of real health. The mystical vision of Jesus in the clouds and the tiny sprouting fig leaves serve as hints or signs that the very promises of God are not distant, but they're breaking through even as the disciples wait. And we too are assured that God gives us signs as we wait. And those signs are enough to sustain us. Even a baby in a manger holds a future promise of hope. I don't know if it was because this week I was thinking a lot of Thanksgiving past, but I was thinking of this scripture lesson and how in every family, there's a relative that arrives about an hour or two late. We all have them. The food is lined up on the counter, plates are out, punch is made, but the feast can't begin until everyone is there. Now, as you wait, and it is difficult to wait and to smell the cheesy potatoes, but tell me you don't take a handful of potato chips or fish out an M&M from the Chex Mix bowl. Because as we wait, we tend to snack. We get a taste of things that will get us to the meal. And so too is this season of Advent. While we wait to be in person at church, we are utilizing technology so that we can continue to worship. And that is such a gift. While we wait to spend the holidays with friends and relatives, we are seeing many kids, parents, and grandparents learning to use video conferencing software that makes togetherness possible. And while we wait, people are writing letters to their neighbors, donating food to food banks, and giving money to organizations that are in need of it. People are not waiting to help those hurt by the pandemic, but they are working to improve their situation now. Even after Jesus dies on the cross and rises on the third day, the disciples don't just wait for God, but they themselves become living signs of a world yet to be. Advent is about waiting. It is about anticipating the arrival of the Christ child. But as we anticipate the fullness of God in our world, we too participate in acts of hope, peace, joy, and love, knowing that God's goodness is always on the threshold, right on the verge of shining forth, and the signs are all around us. So may your Advent journey not be wondering if God will enter the world, but when. May your waiting be one of hope and wonder at the signs that surround you. May your life be a sign to others that they are cared for and loved. And even now, God dwells within you, and that light will never go out. Thanks be to God. Amen.